Certainly good to be back out with you this evening, and certainly appreciate all that came back out. We lost a few, but hopefully, certainly don't want you to not make mention that I appreciate those that come every service. And tonight, I hope what I have to share with you is going to be helpful to you. I've preached this lesson at Fairview actually several months ago, and actually a lot of positive feedback about it. It's really about a topic that may not, you may think that it may not apply to you, but I'm hoping after we talk about it tonight, you might change your mind, because it is a topic that can affect all of us from time to time. And that is the idea of loneliness and depression. You may think that if somebody is married, somebody that has children, somebody that spends a lot of time with people, don't have to worry about this, but I would tell you that that's not true. In fact, statistically, a study done by Fortune magazine showed that one half of Americans, 50%, and you know what, these are pews are kind of equally divided here a little bit, so half of the congregation here, by statistically, is dealing with depression right now or loneliness. So it is something, again, it's based off of this study. Other statistics show Health Insurance Cigna took a nationwide survey of 20,000 adults and found that 54% of respondents said they feel like no one actually knows them well. Additionally, 56% of people said that people they surround themselves around are not necessarily with them, and approximately 40% said they lack companionship. Their relationships aren't meaningful, and that they feel isolated from others. That's a lot of people. AARP Foundation found that one in three adults, 45 and older, are lonely. So that what that tells you, and statistics support, that generally the younger generation is dealing more with loneliness than the older. And you think about, usually, when do you lose your companions and your families? When you get older. So I would put forth to you tonight that loneliness and depression, those two sometimes go hand in hand, can attack any of us, or can certainly, we all can be, fall into this idea of being lonely. And you know, this is something that is not new. In fact, you may remember Elijah. Remember when he went up against the prophets of Baal and was victorious? And you would think after that, after that big high and all that success. But we find in 1 Kings chapter 19, and it says, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. Even Elijah, in spite of that great victory that he had, said, I'm the only one, Lord. He felt all alone. Even though he wasn't alone, he felt alone. You know, that can happen to us. Sometimes I think we may be dealing with some struggle. And we may try to deal with that ourselves. And we feel, I'm all alone. Nobody's there. Nobody's thinking about me. Nobody's worried about me. That's the way Elijah felt. God told Elijah where he would find his next apprentice, that is Elisha, and that there were 7,000 other people in Israel who would stand by him there in 1 Kings 19, 16, and 17. He wasn't alone. Elijah wasn't alone, but he felt alone. Even though God was with him. Even the Apostle Paul. You look at all the great things Paul accomplished. But you know, when he was imprisoned there by Nero, there in around 66, 67 A.D., it says, when he wrote 2 Timothy, Paul even was lonely. It says, Phygellus and Hermogenes, everyone in the province of Asia there in chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, Endemus, chapter 4, verse 10, had deserted him. The Cretans, Titus and Tychius, were away, and only Luke was with him. Paul wanted very much for Timothy to join him also. Even Apostle Paul at times dealt with this idea of loneliness and being alone, even though he knew that God was with him. And so I put forth to you tonight that there's nothing to be ashamed of or be embarrassed about feeling lonely or being depressed. It can attack any one of us. So what do we do? What do we do in loneliness? We're feeling lonely. You know, there's many reactions we can have to it. One of the things I'll put forth tonight is we need not to be afraid to reach out for help. Reach out to others. And we should reach out to others when we see folks that are dealing with loneliness. You can actually see someone who's not feeling, you can just tell they're not on their game, they're feeling down, they're kind of depressed, maybe feeling lonely. You can see that when that happens. And what should we do as Christians? Galatians 6 and 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we should be willing and able to reach out and help others. You know, some people, this is much easier than others. This is something I've always struggled with. It's not just natural for me to go up to somebody that might be struggling or maybe is dealing with some hardship and really strike up a conversation, even though I might care about them sincerely. But we are to bear one another's burdens, and that doesn't mean that we're just thinking about them. I mean, certainly thinking about them and praying about them is appreciated. But we bear one another's burdens. We should be helping one another. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. John 15 and 13. And so when we care about someone, even to the point that we would sacrifice our own lives, that's the way we should feel about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be willing to help them, even to the point that we would lay down our lives for each other. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. It is so easy to get wrapped up in our own problems and issues and only be looking at ourselves. So let me ask you, when you get up from service or even before services, when you're maybe just kind of preparing your mind for worship, do we look around? Or even when we're done with services, do we look around and say, who maybe needs some help? As opposed to thinking about, okay, what am I having for dinner? What have I got to deal with this week? What's on my plate? What am I thinking about? As this verse points out there, we should be esteeming one another in lowliness of mind. You know, in psychology today, there's a very famous writer, Heidi Grant Halvorsen. She's a PhD, and she wrote in Psychology Today, The Cure for Loneliness. So she had several ideas there that I'm going to put forth to you tonight. One of the things she said is the cure for loneliness is we need to improve social skills. She said, some researchers argue that loneliness is primarily the result of lacking of interpersonal skills required to create and maintain relationships. You know, that's true. There's some people just naturally very social and they can interact with people very easily, and others struggle with that. It says, typically these interventions involve teaching people how to be less socially awkward, engage in conversation, speak on the phone, give and take compliments. So it's actually teaching people how to be social, and how to interact with people. Second thing she puts forth is enhancing social support. It says, many lonely people are victims of changing circumstances. These approaches offer professional help and counseling for the bereaved, elderly people who may have been relocated, and children of divorce. And so this is really just getting professional help and advice when maybe your situation changes. Maybe you're going through a divorce. Maybe children might be dealing with that, or someone may have lost a spouse or lost a child or lost a parent. And so getting professional help for that. It said increasing opportunities for social interaction. So one of the things she says, if you're lonely, is you need to actually increase your opportunities to interact with other people. It says with this approach, the logic is simple. If people are lonely, give them opportunities to meet other people. This type of intervention, therefore, focuses on creating such opportunities through organized group activities. So the idea here is you're getting together groups. And so you're increasing your contact with people. The last one she puts forth is something, and here's a new word for you, there's a new word for me. Changing maladaptive thinking. So this approach might seem surprising, and its rationale less obvious than the other approaches. But recent research reveals that over time, chronic loneliness makes us increasingly sensitive to and on the lookout for rejection and hostility. It's ambiguous social situations. Lonely people immediately think the worst. Lonely people pay more attention to negative social information, like disagreement or criticism. They remember more of the negative things that happen during an encounter with another person, and fewer the positive things. All this leads, as you might imagine, to more negative expectations about future interactions with others. Lonely people don't expect things to go well for them, and consequently, they often don't. What you find interesting is, she says, with the four approaches to curing loneliness, the obvious question is, what works? So which of those methods do you think is effective? She says, thanks to recent meta-analysis of 50 different loneliness interventions, the answer is clear. Interventions aimed at changing maladaptive thinking patterns were, on average, four times more effective than other interventions in reducing loneliness. In fact, the other three approaches weren't practically effective at all. So what is she saying? She's saying that the best cure for loneliness is to have a positive mental attitude. You've got to change the way you see the world. It's really changing the way you see things. Don't just focus on the negatives. Don't be a glass half full person. You got to fix this yourself. That's the other thing you gather from this, is that when you talk about these other ones, it's about sometimes fixing other people, but really it's about changing your view. Others cannot fix this for you. This can be hard for someone in the world who doesn't understand their purpose in life, but this is not true for a Christian. Now, I'm not telling you that Heidi Grant, what she said is not true. I think there's a lot of good, valid points there. But I would put forth to you that this is exactly what we find the Bible talking about. If you're dealing with loneliness and depression, let me put forth to you, it's really about changing your mindset. It's really not about the people around you. It really is not. It's about changing the way you see the world and the way you see interactions that you're having with other people. You know, Jesus understands our loneliness. We spent some time reading the scripture reading. We're going to notice just a few verses out of that reading. It said in verse 3 of chapter 53 of Isaiah, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Jesus knew what it was like to be lonely. You know, when he was a boy, imagine what it must have been like for him. He would have been awed. Sticking out morally like a sore thumb. Never quite fitting in with any group. Even his own family. Imagine being the son of God and being sinless and dealing with people around you who were sinning against God the Father. It would have been very difficult, very odd for him as a young man. And then as he grew older, his brothers and sisters would have grown increasingly self-conscious around him. And how he was. Aware of their own sinfulness, self-obsessed motives and behavior, while noting that Jesus didn't seem to exhibit this behavior himself. And finally, Jesus was a sinless person living with sinful parents, sinful siblings, sinful extended relatives, and sinful neighbors. No one on earth could identify with him. He truly was alone in what he was doing. So I would put forth to you, Jesus understands when we're struggling with loneliness and maybe feel like we're alone. He knows what that feeling is like. We're told in that verse he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It reached its apex when he, at the moment he became sin for us. When Jesus became sin for you and I, that was the extreme point of loneliness. Imagine what it must have been like. Jesus, who had always been with the Father. The Father was always with them. Forever. Until he became sin. And you talk about the tears that Jesus shed and when he said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was the first time in his existence that Father, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus was forsaken by God. Matthew 27:46 says, "First he was estranged by sinfulness, and then from being sin, Jesus knew the supreme rejection and loneliness." In Matthew 27:46 it says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Jesus is the perfect person to understand our loneliness. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet he was without sin." So what is the cure for loneliness? I mentioned that we need to really change the way we see the world, change the way we interact with folks. But let me also put forth to you that we need to help each other. That is, the body of Christ is a cure for loneliness. We talk about Christ understands our loneliness. In the church, as it was established, one of the major intentions of the church was to support one another in times of need. The body of Christ is made up of those who give their lives to serve God. Again, in order to come to the fullness of Christ. We have that all in common. And so we should be able to relate one to another, encourage one another. The body of Christ is the best antidote for loneliness. All those who follow Christ and have been baptized with one Spirit are the body of Christ. And the body, we become one despite our differences. You know, we don't see things the same way. I can't tell you how many times we might have a discussion. You may see someone acted a certain way in a certain situation. You'd say, "I would never do that. I would never act like that. I would never say that." You know, we're very different. Whether it be male or female, young or old. But you know what? We are one in the body of Christ. And so when one of the members suffers, we all suffer. We all feel it. And that's the way it should be. Despite our differences, we have fellowship in the Spirit even when we are alone. We are not alone. We have one mind and one Spirit, one purpose, and have one goal. If we devote ourselves to the building up of the body of Christ through personal faithfulness, God will ensure that we have and find a place within. We're told in Romans 12:5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one another." So we are, even though we are many, and we may have different views, and we are different socially, we may be interact differently or different points in our individual lives, we are one when it comes to being members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And so we are one. So the point here is, you are never alone when you're part of the body of Christ. You're never alone. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it." You know, I can remember a time when I'll say a younger man, and I was competing with, might even been one of my children. I loved to beat him. Shouldn't be that way. But I was my brother Gary back there playing something, even though I was 5 years older than him, and I still like beating him, even though it was really wasn't a big deal. I was 5 years older than him. I should have beat him. But you know, now when you think about the church, when a member is suffering, shame on us if we rejoice in that. Or when somebody has a great success, we should be so thankful for them, just as if it was one of our own children. We are one body. One member suffers, all the members suffer. One member is honored, all members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12 and 26. So we need to trust in God, and that God will cure our loneliness. God is faithful no matter how you feel. No matter if everyone leaves you, no matter how alone you are, He is there. He loves you more than you could ever possibly know or comprehend. Even if the members here and the body here would leave you, God will never leave you or forsake you. We're told in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." God is always there for us, no matter what, no matter where we are. Isaiah 58 and 11 says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." God will always be there. That verse is, God will always be there for us. And finally, Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you." God is there for us always. When we are feeling lonely, we should reach out to one another and we should reach out to God. So what can I do? Certainly the Bible has talked about a lot of the things the Bible's talked about there and how we should bear one another's burden and be a help. What can you do individually? This is just some thoughts. You know, we have these potlucks from time to time. Those are great times to interact and socially interact and get to know one another. But you could do that. You could have a coffee or dessert party, invite friends. Church, you know, Sue and I have talked about, you know, that our children are gone. There's folks here we'd like to get to know better. There's things we could do that and should do that. Planning regular get-togethers. You know, I can tell you when I was a young kid that almost every Friday night we were going over to Dale and Charlotte's or Dan and Bob's or Grandma and Grandpa's, or they came to our house and we played cards. It wasn't nothing fancy, but you know what? I got to know everybody really well and felt really close to those people. My cousins, as a result of that. We should be doing that. Here, I'm not saying have a card party, but I'm just saying think about how you can reach out to individuals here and spend time with them. Get to know them. Get to know a family. There are a lot of people in this church I don't know very well. I know them. I know their name. I know generally things about them, but I don't know them. We should get to know one another better. Even doing something, a simple thing like running errands together. You know, it used to be I always never had to worry about having a golf partner. I always could count on somebody. Now it's a little struggle for me. But sometimes I don't think about, hey, there's people here I could probably call. But I don't. I should. Not to say that this is just socially interacting with one another more. And certainly when we do spend time with another Christians, there's things we can do to encourage each other as well. Not just inside these walls. Not just a little bit of time we spend after services, but outside these buildings. Reply and send texts. I always get accused of not responding to my texts by my wife. My phone doesn't pop up always. It's not intentional. But, you know, it's one thing nice about the phones is it's easy to respond. Even in my high school class out there, I got everybody's text number. You know what? I can send them a text anytime, and I should do that more often to encourage them. That's something we all can be doing more of. And again, encourage us, look around. Look around you. And see who might need help. Who we should be engaging more. So there's things that we can be doing. So in conclusion, remember the examples of Elijah and Paul. It can happen to any of us. It's hard to be isolated and alone with the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It really is. If we really lean on one another and we would help one another, it would be hard to be lonely. We need to focus on the positive and not the negative in situations. Don't always look at the negative things that are going on. Focus on the positives. Remember not to blame others for your loneliness. It's so easy to blame other people when you're feeling down or depressed or lonely. Don't be afraid to reach out and help others who are lonely and show them the one true cure. That a purpose in life through Jesus Christ, that's the one true cure. And finally, remember God loves you and will fulfill His promise to you. And let me just put forth that if you follow these simple things, I think you'll be much better in dealing with loneliness and depression. In the way of imitation, I just share with you John 14:1-3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." How comforting that is. "If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." How comforting those words are. Remember those words when we're feeling down and lonely. There is a much better place awaiting us. If we are but Christians. And if you're not a Christian tonight, let me tell you the best cure for loneliness is that we've talked about tonight is being in the body of Christ. Being a Christian. And maybe we've been a Christian and maybe we've not been living the way we should. The Lord's invitation is open. If you're subject, please come while together we stand, while we sing.